Welcome to today's podcast. This is the 27th in the series titled Design for Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from Pastor Jim Irwin's Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Pastor Jim will be looking at how every member is to be a minister. This week's message is titled Equinox.
Boy, we're going to jumpstart 2020 here as we kind of get back on task for the fall. If you haven't checked your calendar, you need to, because today is the first day of, boy, where did summer go? Anyway, just flew by, didn't it? It's called equinox, technically. It is the day when the sun reaches its celestial equator. Whether you realize that or not, there are two times a year when the sun passes from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere, and then from the southern hemisphere back to the northern hemisphere. Today is equinox, which means that there is equal darkness and light. If you are driving east tomorrow morning when you get up to go to work or go somewhere at approximately 7:30 in the morning, you will notice that the sun is right on the east-west line, exactly east. You're going home from work tomorrow night, or you're out driving at 7:30 approximately in the evening, you will notice that the sun is setting right on the western hemisphere. And east, you take any east-west road, and you'll see it. It's equinox. The equal darkness and light, just for a time. Days are shortening, aren't they? Pretty soon it's going to be longer nights and shorter days until equinox occurs again in the spring. And I'm told it's the one day a year that it is possible to balance an egg. I'm going to show you. Now, you got to do it right at noon. We're not quite there, so I don't know if I can get it to balance just right. But there's one day a year, or 2 days a year, I'm sorry, equinox, when it is possible to balance an egg. Have you ever seen it happen? I told you it could happen. I'll show it to you again in the spring if you don't believe me. Equinox. Perfectly balanced. Like nature, perfectly balanced. And there's a danger in any avenue of becoming unbalanced, getting out of balance. Your immune system, when it's out of balance, is prone to every illness and disease. In fact, cancer, we are told, is the imbalance of the cellular system, cells themselves are out of balance. Someone who is working a job and becomes imbalanced is likely to get sloppy and injured. Or overworking in some position will become burnout, can be even a dangerous situation. Marriages and families that get out of balance, that are out of equinox, are in danger of breaking up. And it occurs frequently, doesn't it? Imbalance. Imbalance in your own daily life. How many of you have taken a fall here as of late because you got out of balance? Number one cause of death, I'm told, in the national park system in the United States every year is imbalance. People falling, in most cases, off of a cliff or over the edge. Was at Grand Canyon here a couple of years ago, and just before we arrived, we were told about a foreign person, family that was visiting the park. Somebody got out on the edge for a picture, and they lost their balance, and over they went. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, let him who thinks he stand, watch out, be careful, lest he fall. Don't lose your balance. Boy, I've taken some pretty good falls myself over the years. My favorite fall wasn't at the time, but it was good for laughs afterwards. I was emptying out the ashes from the wood burner. You know the job, don't you? You dig out the ashes, take the ash bin out, round to the ash pile back behind the house. It was about 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground, and there's a little incline, just a slight incline behind the house. And as I walked around the outside of the house, I hit, I'm telling you, the slipperiest spot in the yard. I didn't realize it at the time, but underneath the snow was one of those little plastic sleds that are made to slip and slide with about that much snow on it. I hit that sled, and I tell you what, those ashes went up. And I came back in. I looked like a coal miner. I mean, white eyes and mouth. Everything else was totally black. And I landed right on the behind there. I'm telling you, it woke me up. I don't know what my wife figured I'd just been doing, but I'm sure I was a sight to be seen as I walked into the house, ashes all over the place. Let him who thinks he stand. Do you think you're standing? Are you in good standing as a Christian? The Bible says, heads up, be careful. You could fall if you're not careful. Now, balance in the Christian life, I'm going to suggest, is very simply being at the center of God's will. Being at the center of God's will for your life. What is God's will for your life? We're told throughout the Scripture things that God wants us to be and do. We just saw one here recently. We were talking about the three S's. Salvation, sanctification, and service. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Now, this is God's will for you, that you be sanctified. That's what God wants you and I to be, sanctified. Our sanctification, that we become Christ-like in our character. That's His plan and purpose for your life. And that's a safe place to be if you're living it. If you're not, be careful. The Bible says you could fall. God wants your life in equinox, in balance, in the center of His will for you. Henry Blackaby wrote a book called Experiencing God years ago. He made this statement that stuck in my mind when I saw it. You must make major adjustments, he wrote, to be or stay and the will of God for your life. You must make major adjustments. You see, we want God to adjust to us, don't we? So we pray to God and we ask Him to do things for us. I think it's just the opposite. I think God is asking you to make adjustments in your life in order to be in His will, or the center of His will, as we've stated it. Now, as a church, I've suggested here a couple years ago, let's incorporate ourselves around a couple of ideas. Let's, as a congregation, determine what is God's will for us and how can we better approximate that will. And we came up with something that actually was stated in our vision or our mission statement years ago, back in the 90s, that God wants every member of Bethel Gilead Community Church to be a minister, every member a minister. And with that, I suggested a three-point stance, I'm going to call it, three things that that includes that I'd like to argue for this morning. Kind of like a tripod, you know, when you set up a camera on a tripod, or you notice these stands up here with the tripod. You see somebody out picking apples, and they don't pick on ladders with two rungs, they pick on ladders with three. There's a tripod because it's more stable on uneven surfaces. You watch the Detroit Lions play, look at the left and right guard. Every play, those guys have got to confront 285-pound guys that are just ready to tear their heads off. You know what they do in preparation? They get down on a tripod, a three-point stance. Arm up, because their job is to defend the ball against all invaders, the linebackers. Tripod in three areas. Notice you've got them there in front of you. Live the life, be the church, extend the kingdom. That's good standing. That's great balance, in my opinion, for us as a church. I think that encapsulates God's will. In fact, I think that's the center of who God wants us to be as a church. Equinox, imbalance. Next week, let me talk to the second of the two and the third the week after the kingdom. This morning, just give me a few minutes to rehash, to revisit something we've already talked about as church. Living the life. That's our first imperative. God wants you to live the life. Which life? The Christian life. What kind of life does God want me to live as a Christian? How could you characterize, in quotes, the Christian life, so to speak? Well, let me suggest again three components, kind of like hats that you could wear simultaneously. And one goes on top of the other, goes on top of the other. And my recommendation for you and I is that we check ourselves today to see, am I living the kind of life, the Christian life, that God wants me to live? And if you're not, what adjustments, as Henry Blackaby suggests, do I need to make in order to live that kind of life? Notice the three lives in sync that I'm going to suggest. Your devotional life, your social life, and your occupational life. All of us are implicated on all three levels all the time. Live the life, the Christian life. First of all, your devotional life. That's your daily, ongoing walk with God. How do you do that? I'm going to suggest you start the day with Him. The best start that you can make to every day is devote yourself in that day to God as a follower of Jesus Christ. Daily devotions. I can't come up with a better thing that you and I could do to live the life that God has designed for us to live than to develop your my daily devotional life. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and His presence came upon me like sunlight on my breast. All day long, His presence lingered. All day long, He walked with me. And I think I learned a secret to living happily. If you meet God in the morning, here's the secret. You'll have God through the day. What a great start to any given day. Your devotional life. We saw the verse from John 15 last week. Abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you'll bear fruit, is the premise, right? For apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. How do I abide in Him? I think you start out the day making sure you're closely connected to Him. Got your Bible, turn the New Testament to the book of 2 Corinthians. There's a warning here that Paul gives to the Corinthians, and vicariously I think he's giving it to us. In fact, I think it's more pertinent today than ever, his words here. Because in my opinion, SADD, spiritual attention deficit disorder, is more rampant than ever. But it occurred back then, even in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3, Paul writes this, but I'm afraid, and that's curious to me why Paul would say he was afraid. He's one of the most courageous people that ever lived. If you read his story here in Corinthians itself, of all the hardships he endured, the point of death all the time, his life was at stake, risks. He wasn't afraid of anything, was he? Well, he says, yeah, I am afraid of something. For your sake, I'm afraid of this. Notice, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, which serpent's cunning? Remember the story in the book of Genesis, way back in the garden? The devil? Here's what I'm afraid of, he says, that your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure, what's the word? Devotion to Christ. Paul says the worst thing that could happen to you, Christian, is that you could lose your devotion to Christ. Where would that begin? He says right here between the ears. You get distracted. He says that's the devil's forte. That's what he's going to try to do in your life on a regular basis. And he says, I'm afraid for you for that. Your devotional life is basic. I am forever indebted to my grandparents, the years that I spent with them, the times that I visited them. I spent lots of time at their house. Lived down on Silver Lake here. It's down the road, Southern Road. In the summers, I spent weeks whenever possible. And it never failed. My grandparents, in their older years, every morning that I awoke, they'd be sitting out there having devotions. And I thought, what a great model for a young guy like me. I've never forgotten that. In fact, I've emulated it ever since. Devotional life. That's the first hat that you ought to put on when you get up in the morning. Now, some of you get up real early in the morning because you got to be at work real early. What do you do about that? Well, there's two options. You can go to bed earlier if it works for you. Maybe a half hour earlier. I was impressed with one of the boys that one of my younger sisters dated in college. He came from a dairy farm out in Iowa. And as was the routine there, they got up to milk cows every morning and then after school at night. And when he went to college, he no longer had to go milk the cows. Rather than sleeping in that extra hour, guess what that kid did? He kept the same schedule. And he got up at the same time as his family would be back at the farm. And he used that time to pray and to study his Bible. What a great example. Young college kid. The other option, I think, is to find another time of day. And that depends on your internal clock. Some of you are night owls. How many of you had a hard time getting out of bed this morning because you kind of stayed up a little bit too late last night? Buddy like that, you tend to, into the wee hours of the night or the morning, I guess it would be. And some of you are roosters. Who are those roosters? You couldn't stay in bed if your life depended on it in the morning. You got to get up, you wake up and you're wide awake and you got to get going while the night owl next to you is still in a coma. Probably will be for another hour or two. That's a huge difference, isn't it? In physiology, body chemistry, the way that you're wired. So if you're a night owl, possibly preparing for the following day by having your devotions the night before, where you can sit down and pray and plan and study. That might be a better fit, time-wise, for you. Wear that hat, your devotional life. It starts with a meeting with God every day. There's a second hat that I want to suggest you put on every day. It's your relational hat, your social life. You say, well, I have no social life. I don't believe it. You cannot live without society, without the social sphere. There aren't any hermits, and in particular, there are no lone rangers in the Christian life. You are automatically related to all kinds of people beyond your own home and family. And you are required and, in fact, instructed repetitively in Scripture how to get along with others in terms of relationships. That is exactly what God's will is for you. When we live the Christian life, we are living it in the context of relationships. Jesus' new commandment, love one another. Love one another. We see it over and over and over. Romans 12:18 says we are to live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, the Bible says, live at peace with everyone. Be in right relationship with those around you, if at all possible. I like the way Paul spells it out to the Philippians. If you're in 2 Corinthians, just skip ahead to the right there to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. This time to the church at Philippi, he gives instructions on how to rightly relate to one another. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of Philippians, he says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, he says, if you're a Christian, in essence, he's saying, I would suspect all of us or most of us would say, well, I am a Christian. He says, if that's true for you, verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Get along with one another. Philippians, if you're Christians, live like it. What does that look like on a personal basis? Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. There are some people, that's all they do, out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. That's what organizes or orchestrates their lives. He said, not you. If you're a Christian, just the opposite, he said, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Finally, verse 4, he says this, each of you should look out not only for your own interests, and we've got plenty of those, don't we? But he said also for the interests of others. Verse 5 and following, then he goes on to give the classic expose on the man who was most committed to the well-being of others. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of that. And Paul says you need to be like him in relationships. Your devotional life, your social life. Let me give you one more for what it's worth, your occupational life. You're going to live the life of a Christian. You're going to comply with God's will. If we're going to be the church where every member's a minister, we got to start here. This is basic. We're a place where people have devotional walk with God. They're in right standing with others. Not perfectly. It's a process, isn't it? It's progressive, day to day. But thirdly, they also have their occupational life in order. Occupare in the Latin means to occupy. It has to do with the time use, the way that you use time on a regular basis. For some of you, your time is not your time. 40 to 50 hours a week, you are told what to do. You go to work in your job, you've given an assignment, and that's what you comply with, your occupational life. Some of you, perhaps, depends on the station of life that you're in, your housewife or a mother, possibly a grandparent, retired. That's your occupation. That's what occupies your time. And God wants you to wear that hat consistently in honor of Him, to represent Him. Let me give you one verse that kind of fits that scheme, and we'll close here. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 24, the Apostle Paul, this time writing to Colossae, the church there, and I think vicariously he writes to you as well. He says this, whatever you do, what is it you do? What is it I do with my time and your time? He says, whatever it is, notice this, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not men. Do your job as if Jesus were your employer, not men. Could that make a difference in the way that you work? It shouldn't if you're compliant with God's will. If your life is balanced occupationally, whatever you do, he says, whatever you do, you serve God via serving others. Just prior to that, verse 17, it says the same thing. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's the third hat that you and I wear day in and day out. My devotional life, put that on first, and I keep it on all day long. On top of that, the relational, social life, as I interact with people, and you do the same. And thirdly, your occupation and mine, in terms of what I do with my time, ought to be lived in a way that God is honored. Live the life, the Christian life, in private, at home, in public. It begins with you and I. And as a result, we become the kind of church that God can develop ministries out of. Every member potentially can be a minister. In terms of application, let's finish up here this morning. I'm going to invite the group, if you want to come on up. Melissa, you guys can close us out. Live the life. To what degree are you living the life, God's design for you, the Christian life? Take a stab at it, if you had to guess. 50% of my life is in line with His will. 75, maybe 25%. Boy, that'd be kind of on the low end, wouldn't it? I think God wants you and I to adjust ourselves to live more and more like He's designed us to live. Let me ask you number two there. How's your devotional life? Now, if your devotional life is poor, admittedly, or non-existent, boy, I've got good news for you. This is the main meal. There's dessert coming. I'm going to take about 45 minutes next door, and I'm going to give you a little concept, a very simple key to developing a devotional life. Mini training that I think could help you in that area to be more devoted, to live more devoted to Him. Number two, social life. How's it going in that department relationally? And finally, your occupational life. The question is your life in equinox, in balance with God's plan and His design for you? If it's out of balance and you find yourself falling over, how can we get you back in balance with His plan and purpose? Equinox. Lord, I thank You for Your word this morning and for this church. We want to become the kind of place where people's lives are lived sincerely, daily, in balance with You. And that's not easy to do. So many things are pulling at us. And for good reason, we're told to be careful lest we fall. We lose our balance. I pray for myself and I pray for each of us that You would help us to align ourselves, beginning with our daily devotional walk. Maybe no more important thing that I can do tomorrow than to square off with You, to look to You, to pray to You, to look into Your word, and out of that, to step into the world. Pray for our social lives, relationships. We've got a great laboratory for relationships right here in the church, practicing what Your word tells us to be and do. But I also pray for the occupations represented right here today. So many people in diverse settings. How can they live out their faith as Christians wherever it is that they serve? We want to live that kind of life, Lord. Become the kind of people that You designed us to be. And so we ask You to help us. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the 27th in the series, Design for Life. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.